Guys, good morning. My name is Adam. I am a member here at Restored. This morning, I wanted to intro Jackie. Andy's actually at South Bay. He'll be here after for the baptisms, though. So I'll call Jackie up. I was trying to think of something amazingly inspirational, encouraging, just thinking of just Jack and how much she's loved my wife, Trang, and our son, Avery, and just us as a whole and as a family, and how well Jack has loved our family and cared for us so well, and just that you're like this super mom, that you have three kids, and you keep it all together, and you love Annie so well, and just like that. Okay. It seems all together. But just that the way that you love everyone around your life so well, and not to say that you're awesome. I mean, you are awesome. But to say that God's awesome and what he's doing through you and your obedience to him is really rad. And I just see so much of the gospel in your life. And so, yeah, I'm really psyched to have you here. And we're psyched to hear you. And, yeah, I'll pray for you and then read him. God, thank you for Jackie. Thank you for her obedience to you to share and encourage us with your word this morning, Lord. We pray that you would really convict us of our sin, Lord. You really reveal yourself in more beautiful ways, Lord, to us. Yeah, I just lift up Jack right now as she shares, and just that she's reminded just how stoked you are on her, and not about her performance, but that you're just so stoked on her as your daughter, Lord, and to see her here sharing is rad. And yeah, so we just lift her up to you. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Adam. I definitely don't have it all together, so thank you for clarifying. So welcome, guys. I'm excited to – hold on really quick. Okay, it's recording. Just need to make sure. I'm excited to be here sharing with you guys today. This is my second ever sermon. thank you. So praying the Spirit just uses me to speak to all of us today. The topic I'm talking about today is serving the church family with humility and joy. And I believe that Jesus gives us the example and the ability to do that. And as many of you know, Andy was gone for about 10 days, like a week ago. If you didn't know, you can listen to last week's sermon because he mentioned it probably 20 times. he went to Israel on a trip. And I actually had many opportunities to serve Jesus through serving my kids, my family, while he was gone. But honestly, I feel like I failed more times than I'd like to admit when it comes to humility and joy. I lost my cool. I just got through like the bedtime, the evening time, which side note, I feel like as a parent, the bedtime routine is like the test of your faith. It really is. So I just want to tell you guys that me, Jackie Rogers, a textbook, Enneagram 2, needs this message today on serving humbly, because joy and serving humbly, just it doesn't come naturally to any of us. And I think serving humbly and serving with joy has to come from Jesus first and foremost. So if you have Bibles, you can turn with me to John chapter 13. And before we, or it might be up here also. But before we get in here, we've been in a series called Revealed, and we've been going through the Gospel of John. It's an eyewitness account, one of Jesus' closest companions and friends, who's telling about the life, the teaching, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. And a little recap of where we've been, because we've kind of been on a little bit of a break, is we see Jesus is entering into human history. God coming down as a man is what we're celebrating at Christmas. He comes and he's teaching like a scandalous message, saying things like the prostitutes are getting into the kingdom of God before the Pharisees. He's teaching that God himself is the key to life. And this is just infuriating the religious leaders of the day. Like he's really making them angry, and he does this one thing that kind of sets them off. He performs this miracle that leads people to knowing him, and it actually kind of starts the plotting of them making the plan to actually murder Jesus. The miracle is when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Adam preached on a few weeks ago in John 11. And even though that miracle only happened one chapter ahead of where we are now, it was 6 months in between. 6 months have passed since then. So today's topic, today's text, it occurs 6 months after raising Lazarus from the dead. And now it's Passover time. Jesus is in his final hours, his final days of his life, right before he's about to go to the cross. And our story picks up on his very last night alive. So this is like a very weighty story. It's not a coincidence that it's in here at the timing of it. It's very intentional. So I'm going to go ahead and read John chapter 13. Hold on. I've got a lot going up here. Lots going on up here. Okay. So John chapter 13, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' Jesus answered, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no share with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.'" So he's like, okay, I get it. Now just everything, just wash everything. And Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but he is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That is why he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So in this passage, we see Jesus, hold on, sorry guys. We see Jesus modeling what humility and service looks like in the kingdom of God. And I think that there are some big takeaways. I'll name a few of them. A few takeaways for us today, which leads me to my outline. I have 3 points for us today. And my first one is, this is how we can serve the church family. So I'm talking specifically in terms of the church family. Yes, we do want to be serving other people outside of our community, non-believers in general, but today specifically we're talking about the church family. So my first point is our position doesn't determine whether we serve. Number two, our circumstances don't determine whether we serve. And number three, this is the hard one. Whether or not the person deserves it doesn't determine whether we serve. So I'll start at number one. Our position doesn't determine whether we serve. So we see in verse 3 that Jesus knew that he came from God. He realizes that he came from God. It says that he's made aware of the power that he has. He's made aware that he's King of kings, King of the universe. And at that very moment, when he's aware of everything that's happening on his last night of his life, he does one of the most humble, lowly things that even was too lowly for some of the servants to do. And I want us to just kind of remember this was happening during Passover. So there would have been a ton of extra people around with their animals. We know that animals use the bathroom whenever and wherever they want. So the streets would have been filthy. And Jesus is taking, at this moment, about to wash his disciples' feet, which historically, even Jewish servants wouldn't do this task. So this is like a low, low, very, very low thing that he's doing to teach us something all today. And I don't know about you guys, but if I was made aware of everything, all of the power that I had, and I was aware that I was from God, going back to God, all of these things, I don't think I would have washed my friend's feet right at that moment. I love my friends. I love you guys. But I can think of so many other things that I would do instead. I think probably first on my agenda, so that everyone knew, I'd probably do a post, some kind of Insta post or something, just making sure people knew, I had my passports and I'm going to God, coming from God, that kind of thing. something like that. You know, you see people with their passports, going places, cool. It's I made those places, something like that. I think probably secondly, I'd try and slip it into every conversation that I was a part of. Just I've been doing some DIY stuff because I like DIY stuff, kind of big scale mountains, animals, people, the breath that you're breathing with that, just no big deal with that kind of thing. But thirdly, and probably most importantly for me, I would have to sit down my kids. And I would tell them, the woman that is microwaving your mac and cheese, me, I have a very important title, and you guys need to show some more respect. But Jesus, the most important person, the master that we serve, he takes on a servant identity at that moment. And so for us, we can set aside our titles, whether it's a work title or a title at home. We can set aside the importance that we might have in a social group or a social setting or basically anything outside of what gives us our identity in Jesus. We can set that aside and take on a servant identity like Jesus did. I think that there might be some of us who are kind of on the flip side of this. It's not that you think you're too important or you're qualified to serve, but you actually might be on the opposite side and you think you're not qualified enough to serve, or you don't know enough to do something. And I was actually really convicted of this myself. So last Sunday night, actually. So as many of you know, probably have seen me doing benediction a lot at the end of gathering. And if I have to be honest, it's really difficult for me. I feel out of my element. It's not something I would naturally choose to do, not a way I would naturally choose to serve. I feel uncomfortable and kind of awkward sometimes. And I also just, I have a really bad memory, so I'm always am I going to be able to remember something or articulate it well? And so this was Sunday night after, it had happened and stuff. I did benediction last week. And I was complaining, but in my head, because I'm an introvert and that's what we do, just kind of complain to ourselves about it. And I was just why do I have to do this anyway? There's other people that are better at this, that can craft the words better at the end of gathering. I say things see you tomorrow, and it's a week from now. I misspeak, and I'm just I just can't do this. And I felt so convicted in that moment. I felt the Spirit tell me, you're serving me. You're not doing this for you. You're not doing this for other people. When you serve, you're serving me. And I was oh, did I do that? Did I really? Was I really complaining like that? But it's so true. I feel like I had to take a second to just stop and like ask God to help me, not just with benediction, because that's a once in ever so often thing, but throughout all of my life in the different areas of my life, asking him to help me to be someone that can stop and serve him with joy and humility, even when it's hard and even when it's uncomfortable. So I think that Jesus, he destroys the excuse that we have for whether we think that we're too important. And he calls us out of the idea of I'm not qualified enough, if that makes sense. And so that was on Sunday night. And what's funny is that on Monday morning, must have been planning and staff meeting or something, I get a text. And a text asking if I would preach. And so here I am today doing it. And I just honestly had to laugh to myself because I feel like God was slowly kind of preparing my heart to do something that's a little bit longer and a little more taxing than the benediction on a Sunday. So moving on to point two. Our circumstances don't determine whether we serve. And in verse 1, we see that it says Jesus knew his hour had come. And if you look through the scriptures, you hear things like his hour had not come yet, his time had not come yet. And here we see it says his hour had come. He was about to go to the cross. And so he knew that. He knew the suffering that was going to be before him, that he'd endure on our behalf. And yet he still humbly and lovingly serves his friends, serves his disciples. And I think that there are exceptions in life when unexpected events happen and it's too difficult to serve. But I think for the majority of us, I think we cop out too easily. I think we say things like we've had a really long day or it's been a really busy season. Or some of us, maybe the twos or some of the other Enneagram numbers out there, you might push through, but like you'll have a really bad attitude about it and you'll make sure everyone else knows that it's hard for you, but you're still doing it, but it's hard for you. And like everyone loves being served by someone that's doing that, right? No, no, we hate that. I hate that. but I just wanted to ask us just a question here. And the question is, am I interruptible? Am I interruptible in my life? Are my circumstances, are my situations, my schedule, is it interruptible? Is it interruptible to listen to a brother or sister who's going through a hard time or is just processing something? Am I interruptible to play with my kids after a really long day or I'm doing something that's really important because serving to them usually looks like just playing with them? And actually, as I was prepping this, I was like sitting at the table. I only had a couple days left and I was really aware of the countdown. And Olivia has been into Peter Pan lately and she just loves Peter Pan. She's all about it. And she doesn't want to be Wendy. She doesn't want to be Tinkerbell. She doesn't even want to be Peter Pan. She wants to be Captain Hook, like the villain. I'm like, why do you want to be the villain? You're so cute and sweet. But that's her prerogative. So she wants to be the villain. And I think it's because probably she's the youngest, so she needs to assert some kind of power and control over people. So anyways, side note, child development. So I'm like, okay, I really don't have time for this, but I'm going to try and love her and serve her. And so, and anyone that also, side note, if anyone has battled, sword fought with a toddler, you know how dangerous that is. When swords hit your knuckles, guys, it's as if you've been hit with a real sword. It's intense. But are we interruptible? Are we interruptible for the people that are a part of our life when it's not convenient? Because volunteers, it's different from volunteering because volunteers serve when they have time. But servants serve when the one who's in charge asks them to. And the one in charge is obviously Jesus. So I think that's a really big question that we need to continually ask ourselves. Are we interruptible? And actually, one of the best examples that I've seen of this is actually my dad. He's here holding his phone recording me. Thanks, Dad. Love you. but this last season of his life, he's been so busy. He works a full-time job as a teacher. He helped coach the track get into the CIF championships. He went back to school, and he talked about and finished a degree. He's a pastor at my grandfather's church. He has a lot going on, and still he and my stepmom have joyfully served us many times, many last-minute times. Sorry, Dad, I'm working on that. And model Jesus to us and to our family by serving when it's not convenient for his schedule, because that's not convenient for his schedule, but he still did it. So that's just one example. But okay, let's move on to my third point. Whether or not the person, this is probably one of the hardest for me. It might be easy for you, but we'll see. Whether or not the person deserves it doesn't determine whether we serve. So whether or not the person deserves it doesn't determine whether we serve. And in verse 11, we see that Jesus knew Judas was going to betray him. If there was ever a person in history that did not deserve to be served in that moment, who was not going to appreciate the act in and of itself, it was him. It was Judas in that moment. And Jesus chose in grace to set aside this man's offense, his future offense that would ultimately lead him to the cross, and serve this undeserving man. And I think it's just so huge for us to really soak that in. Last Friday, Andy got home from his trip to Israel. And you guys, I was like, I was ready to be served. I had been with the kids for too long. I'm an introvert. I needed some like alone time, like where I could just not talk and not have to listen to anything and just be and exist, you know? I don't know what it's like. I haven't had it in a long time. But I was just like really ready to be served. And so Andy doesn't just come home. He comes home sick. Yeah. Oh, you guys are sweet. Not me. And so my first thought was, great. Now we're all going to get sick. It's the domino effect. Everyone knows this when you have kids and you just can't stay away. And so I'm like stressing out, anxiety. Everyone's going to get sick. My second thought was, well, if he was going to come home sick, he might as well stayed like a few extra days. I mean, we missed them, but, you know, we would have made it. We would have been fine. And after a few days of him being home and us missing our date night and him missing the boys' basketball games and just not having the extra help in general, I was just, like, a little fed up. And internally, I complained again. To myself, and I was just like, you know what? He doesn't get to go for 10 days and then come home sick, needing me to like make him tea and not helping me with the kids. He doesn't deserve to be served right now. He needs to just suck it up and just get on with it. But I was serious, guys. I was so serious. In my heart, I was so serious, and I was so angry and upset. I was selfish, and I was like really ugly internally. And Andy was legitimately sick. It wasn't like, oh, does he deserve, does he not deserve? He was legitimately sick. He had an awful, awful sore throat. And I deemed him undeserving, or deserving with like a really bad attitude. I made him tea and stuff, but I was just like, this is hard for me. But here you go, have the tea. So anyways, I think that's like kind of silly, but I think there's actually more serious times in our lives when we have to choose to serve someone that's undeserving. An example could be a spouse or a close friend that has legitimately sinned against you in a real way, in a hurtful way. Or a brother or sister that has made walking alongside them very difficult, which that can be all of us at times. Or even serving on a Sunday morning serve team when it's super early and no one sees it and no one thanks you and you've had a long week. Or just in general, serving your kids, because kids are usually just ungrateful. They don't care. They just keep taking and taking and taking. But nonetheless, you guys, I think that we have to see that we are actually the non-deserving Judas that Jesus serves. At that exact moment, when we deem someone undeserving, Jesus cleansed us and died for us. And because of this, you guys, there's hope. There's hope for us to live more genuinely and to serve with humility and joy. And I wanted to read a quote from the commentary that I used to prep. It said it really nicely, very articulately. It says, "To follow Jesus by humbly serving our brothers and sisters requires a fundamental transformation of our nature. We are selfish, independent, arrogant sinners with cold, hard hearts." That's me. "What Jesus demands from us is to live as selfless, trusting, humble servants. The only way that's possible is if who I am fundamentally changes. Unless someone performs heart surgery on me, I cannot live a life of humble service. Thankfully, when Jesus humbly sacrificed his life on the cross in my place, absorbing the wrath of God and giving me the gift of faith so that I could turn in repentance, faith, and obedience to him, he changed my nature. He gave me a new heart. Now what was impossible, a life of humble service, is not only possible, it's wonderful. It is a path of true joy. Joy, happiness, and blessing come not from a life of selfish accumulation, but from a life of self-denying compassion and service." And so I think maturity is serving with joy, even when it's hard, because you guys, we are not our own. We were bought at a price, and we're being made new because of Jesus. Now, I have a few questions that I want to ask us. Is there anyone that you need to serve, whether it's a spouse or a friend in your GC, someone in the community in general, your family better, or is there a new way that you need to serve? A second important question that goes along with all of this is, are you willing to let others serve you? Now, this is a very hard one for me. I feel like I'm trying to grow. I've been growing in the last couple years, but it's hard to let people serve you because you have to admit that you have a need and you have to admit that you're actually weak and that you're not super mom and you don't have it all together. The beautiful thing about letting people serve us is that we actually get to show the world around us, the other people that don't know about Jesus, how Jesus changes how we interact with one another. I'm going to read a verse at the end of this, and I'm going to call up the worship band in a second here. Or now, you can do it now if you want. I'm going to read, it's later on in the chapter, it's verse 34, and it says, "A new command I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So like I said, we have a really cool opportunity to demonstrate to those around us that don't know Jesus his love for them through the way that we interact and love and serve each other and allow ourselves to be loved and served as well. So I'm going to pray, and I just want to invite us to just ask Jesus to enter into these questions that I asked about serving there's anyone, I think it should be up here. Yeah, if there's anyone that you need to serve or that any other way you can serve. And then after we just kind of take a few minutes to reflect on those, they're going to lead us into a few songs. So let me go ahead and pray for us. Jesus, you are so good to us. We are so undeserving. Over and over again, we choose ourselves over other people, and we choose ourselves over you. But you are so gracious in that you call us into a life that's not just for ourselves, a life that's for you, and you do it only for our benefit. And so I thank you, Jesus, for doing that for us. I thank you for being the ultimate example of what serving looks like, that we can look to you and we can see personally how you served us humbly in the moments when we least deserved it. You're so good to us, and I pray that all of our motivation would be from our remembering who you are and what you've done and how we can live in light of that. I pray that you would help all of our hearts, whether we're in different places of feeling overly confident or feeling like we're too busy and we don't have the capacity. Meet us where we're at. Help us to give us wisdom, Holy Spirit, on serving those around us and accepting the service from others so that we can ultimately accept you dying on the cross for us. So thank you, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.